Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4, testing. Well, the buildings come from 815, don't they?
Well,
aren't they supposed to, theoretically?
I don't really know. 874 mummies, for example, in Almogordo, New Mexico, Los Alamos, places that are federally impacted areas. As I understand these things, those people were classified and schools and districts draw money on them because those people don't pay taxes. They are brought in from out of state to impact the area,
right.
Haven't been there to accumulate taxes, and funds come in to help the school district to support itself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Whether the monies go for buildings, for teachers, how they spread them, I have no idea.
We'll concentrate on
finance man in any sense of the word.
All right. This is an interview with Johnny Caton, and it's the 2nd of March. Mm-hmm. And I'm Margaret Sands. Okay, before we launch off into your JOM and Border Town programs, I am always interested to know how people got into the business of Indian education, specifically. Now, you have a long background with APS schools, is that right?
I've been here about 24 or 5 years.
That's a pretty long background. How did you find yourself in this position of coordinator of special programs for Indian education?
I've been in the system since World War II. And about 14 years ago, the Border Town program started.
Mm-hmm.
The BIA found many youngsters on the reservation that they could not really get into school. Isolated families that lived so far from school and no roads,
mm-hmm.
that they couldn't bus them into reservation schools, whether public or BIA school, they couldn't get them there. And then as the extended family begins to break down among our Indian people, our Anglo people, our Spanish American people,
sure.
We quit taking care of our own, let the government do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
As these things break down, there are social welfare cases on the reservation that don't really have a home. So a dormitory situation is necessary,
mm-hmm.
and some of those children come into the Border Town program.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way the Border Town program formed. Kiddos that for some reason could not get into a school close to home come to Border Town, meaning schools near the honor, near the reservation,
mm-hmm.
near the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then border of the reservation,
right.
is what it implies, I think.
Right, yes. Mm-hmm.
Not border of New Mexico, New Mexico. But these youngsters were in a rather unfortunate position in most cases of not having a stable home life or being so isolated that education was difficult. And the BIA tried to find a way to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they contracted with 3 New Mexico schools, and I think there are 4 or 5 in Arizona,
mm-hmm.
maybe 1 in Colorado, that have what are called Border Town schools.
Mm-hmm.
The kids live in BIA dormitories, and attend public school where that dorm is.
Mm-hmm.
Been here a long time, and that my first contact with these kids in school was with this program. There were a group in school with my children at Montague the grade school.
Oh, that's where my children go.
And I've always had an interest in the Indians of the area. I've worked with them in the fields. They do farm labor work, and I'm a farmer. And there's always some of these people coming over to where I was raised, working in the fields. And as a kid, I worked with Navajos and Pueblo Indians, and broom corn fields in East New Mexico pulling broom corn and this sort of thing. So I knew the Indians, but when these kids hit Monte Vista grade school, they were classmates of my two boys, and we started making friends with these kids, and we had them home for dinner once in a while, and pick up two or three kids, their buddies, to take to a movie, you know, this sort of thing. Got an interest started in these kids in school, but I had no real close tie until I was stationed at Del Norte High School, which is one of our schools that has the Borotan kids. There are nine of them, one grade school, two junior high, four junior highs, and four high schools that have their kids now. And working as a counselor in that school, Miss Allen, another counselor, and I, both interested in the Indian kids already, became aware that these kiddos were really in worse trouble academically than any of our kids in school. So we got a special interest in this and started looking for ways to get some help for them.
They had, at that time, no help at all.
They
no
still
specific
don't have.
Help. Okay. All right.
We still, well, I have to take that back. We were able, this September made the second year that $14,400 was allocated from the general fund into our night tutorial program to help with the Title I fund. We had written a Title I program about 5 years ago to do some spring tutoring and summer school work to try to help these kids. But that was really the start of my interest, was when the big push when we hit that school.
Okay.
So we started hitting central office for why can't we do something about it? Because we felt that there was sufficient funding to provide some supportive education for these kiddos, because they're on the bottom of the ladder. All testing, as you've been working, shows gringos, Anglos, Chicanos, Negroes, and Indians in that order in academic achievement. And it isn't because of brain in any group, it's because of opportunities, language problems, poverty problems, not culture problems. Culture doesn't make the difference, though. It does not, because an Indian from India has his culture, but with enough help, he can become an educated man, you know. Culture isn't it. One of the big things is Americans won't accept the Indian culture. They'll accept the Chinese, the Indian, the African from Africa. They'll accept foreign cultures. They won't accept the native culture as being worthwhile. That's a part of the problem. So we went to work on it to try to see if we could get some of the funds that we thought were available.
Now this was, this was in the 60s. By this time you were in the 60s, right?
Oh yes, it was in the 60s.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right.
Actually, I guess it has been 7 or 8 years, my first contact at central office to try to shake loose these funds. I've been on this job for 3 years as coordinator. And that was a year, so about 7 or 8 years ago that we first made contact to see about it. And we're always assured that there were no extra funds. Although we know that the federal government fully funds the Border Town program, pays full tuition costs, and then the school district also draws state support on these same kids. Whatever state support is, and it's gradually creeping up, you know, from maybe 7 years ago it was $350, now it's probably $430 per head, something of that kind. So we thought we could probably find a way to get some of these monies put into special supportive staff which is the only way I know to try to help the kids.
Was there any, at this time when you first started going to central office, was there any accounting of the funds? Or did they just simply go into general administrative budget?
The state support monies and the tuition costs went into the operational fund.
Both the BIA money coming directly for the Bordertown students and the JLM, okay.
It still goes into the fund, except that as of, for the second time this September, the central office granted us $14,400 toward our night tutorial program, and it is certainly possible to say that my salary as coordinator of special Indian education projects is paid by the operational fund too.
Okay.
So it could easily be, sure, it can come from that extra money.
Mm-hmm. But, but your initial salary 3 years ago was the first definitive money that was allocated specifically for Indian students.
Toward the Bordertown kids.
I mean, yeah, I'm referring to the Bordertown
kids.
Yes,
ma'am. The Johnson O'Malley program the same way, miss. It started at the same time. What happened with this is that I didn't even know the Johnson O'Malley children, the Canyon Sito Navajos that we bused in and the Isletas that we bused in. I hadn't been in those schools, didn't even know they were there. But I wrote a little program to try to get help for the Bordertown kids, and we couldn't. But a Mr. Nelson up at central office, who was a curriculum
specialist
or something, don't remember his title, says, Johnny, I think we can get this program with Johnson O'Malley funds, because there was $60,000 of Johnson O'Malley money in the budget at that time that was in the operational budget, not identified and not being spent in the program. So we did add a counselor for the Canyoncito project and two language arts specialists to work grade school, junior high, and high school.
Now this was when you came on the job?
Yes, ma'am.
3 years ago.
And a counselor for the Islet and a reading specialist for the Isleta group at one junior high and high school. We got a program started with that, the idea that came from trying to get it for the Bordertown, but we got it into the JOM. Now I'm using the JOM program to show that it works to try to get help for the Bordertown still.
Why do you think that it was, if I've interpreted you correctly, why was it easier? Or why were you able to get the JOM funds specifically allocated before the Bordertown?
I think it is simply a matter of, and this is knock an APS, kiddo.
I don't care if you're
fired and go back to sheep camp. Johnson O'Malley money, the $60,000 that we had the year previous was $60,000 before we got started. I don't know what it was the 3 or 4 years ahead of that. The similar amount, probably a little smaller, you know, as things keep creeping up. But that money comes from the Indian Division of the State Department of Education
right.
to our school system.